There is a forest positioned halfway between the two lunar valleys which surround the town that in turn surrounds Athene Magical College. The valleys carry some version of the new moon or the full moon, respectively, each night. And they have forests, rivers, temples all their own, secrets to discover. But between the two is a more temperate forest which, rather than being changeless, shifts with the seasons quite normally. It is touched by weather. In the winter, the snows may be a little deeper, the rains a little harsher. It is a place left in natural situ, except a few pathways that go through it. People stick to the paths when traveling to the valleys, or out into the countryside, or up toward the town, because there are signs which warn, do not deviate from the path without a very good reason. The word very is underlined. And the purpose of the signs is simple. There's an agreement between the spirits that still reside in that forest between the two valleys. There's an agreement that if somebody has a good reason to step off the path, they may do so untouched, unperturbed. And it is quite a beautiful place, and there are little streams, gullies, clearings visible from the path that anyone might be tempted to go inspect. But creatures older than the presence of people in this part of the world exist in that forest still, and stepping off the path leaves you vulnerable to their ways and their rules. None of them are aggressive. Those were driven out. The spirits that still live here like people quite a lot, and by and large you would be safe. It's just stepping off the path means you're welcoming what might happen, unless you had a good reason. And accepting an invitation to step off the path means the unique powers and abilities of whatever spirit you invited toward yourself in that action will be ever more effective. You called it to you when you accepted its invitation, made it more imminent to the physical plane. That's the understanding. And this information is well enough known. There's so many people who work in magic or deal with spirits in the city that everybody knows or is told as much. That doesn't mean everybody listens, though. Not all the time. The world would be a boring place if everybody always listened to all of the rules. Plus, not everybody knows the rules, because although signs can be posted, and warnings are occasionally given, it's against the rules of the agreement with the spirits to tell people en masse. You can't just tell people when they move to town, by the way, don't step off the trail. You can't just include it in the information packet or try to alert everyone. That would take away the spirit's fun, and traditionally, those who are fooled deserve it, at least in this place. Idyllic and beautiful, the dirt paths are warm underfoot. You can feel that warmth arcing up through your souls, finding its way through your body. And as you move under the forest eaves, the warmth from below and the shade from above combine to put you at just the right comfortable, breezy temperature and state of mind. Everywhere here has little signs, little temptations, individual spirits trying to tempt people off the track. And up ahead, strung between the trees, are paper charms or sigils. There are little shrines away in there, and another path that looks almost the same as the main one, but overgrown and with a different colored sand, gray, almost silvery. You turn, looking down that path, and at the end of it you see it does open to a clearing, a lot like the ones further along the main path where people read and sit safe in the enchanted protection of that main trail. And in that clearing, you see a stone. It's distant, and there's someone seated on it, reclining, at ease. And then, you see around the edge of the clearing nearest to you, a spark, a blue flame spitting and leaping, catching across the clearing. The woman seems unconcerned. You can see she's still laying across a broad, flat stone, sunning herself as the flame, blue, clearly dangerous, leaps closer to her. Thoughtless, quick, you step from the trail, rush down, steady, toward. There is a clear path amid the flame. The woman has her eyes closed. You're getting nearer now. You see she's wearing some kind of silk robe, open, revealing her breasts. No time for modesty. You march through before the flame can go much of anywhere, but it does seem to be tamer closer to. And you walk toward the stone. Attempting to awaken her with words does nothing. You reach out and grasp her wrist, intending to pull her up. Your eyes are still locked on her breasts, but that can be forgiven. You're doing something to help, after all. You try to pull the woman up, noticing her fox ears. She grabs your wrist, however, turning the hold upon her very quickly. And then she is standing, quick, with her fangs showing, her eyes locked to yours. Hello. You look around. The flames are nowhere to be seen. She's still holding your wrist. You pull, just experimentally, but find that even with your whole body weighing upon you, not one hair, not one hair on her head, long red hair down her back, not one blade of grass stirs from your tugging. Everything is still, just frozen. You're still looking for the flame when she holds up the other hand, the one not firmly grasping your wrist as if it were stone, locked around you. And in that palm, the blue flame has gathered. She presents it. You're looking for my pet. Well, one of my pets. And you see that there is an intelligence in the way the flame dances, watching you, observing you, just as the woman is. Her eyes have cat-like pupils just now, and then glowing. Firmly glowing, constant. You're surprised you can see it in the daylight, the broad daylight of the clearing that felt like it should be safe. These woods are deceptive like that, at least in the moonlit or the empty valleys left and right of here. You know what you're in for, but the forest felt safe, right up until she grasped your wrist, leaned near, extended a long tongue, licked her red lips, canted one of her ears twitching. Yes, it felt quite safe up until the flame vanished to a tiny point on the tip of one of her fingers, and the nine long foxtails extended behind her, billowing her completely immodest clothing even further out. There's a glistening, juicy wetness on her inner thigh. Her nipples are pointed, perky, those breasts are as big as your head. You want to bury yourself in her cleavage, and she can see that thought, because she draws it out, bringing a finger on the hand that is still dotted with that flaming blue light, bringing it in front of your face, just one finger extended, the tip of the nail carrying that blue flame, and you watching. I commend you on your bravery. That ought to be rewarded, I think. Just watch. Of course, doing anything else is quite impossible. Some part of your brain has picked up that you really want to see her breasts, and at the angle you're being held at, though you're no longer tugging against the grip on your wrist, the feeling of her skin against you is warm, at the angle you're staring at, watching her breasts means the flame periodically goes through your field of vision. And the breasts bounce as she moves the hand, not occupied holding you fast. When she moves it, her breasts bounce and jiggle behind the mote of flame on the tip of her finger. And she's swaying it quite quickly, but when it moves through, it rather feels like some of your thoughts, thoughts that aren't about her bouncing breasts beyond, are getting caught in that flame, spooled up around it, burnt away, leaving a purity of focus upon her bouncing tits, although your mind says something about the nine tails fanning out behind her, about the way she stands a little too confidently, about the way the path did seem to close behind you as you rushed forward to save her. She clearly didn't need it. You watch the flame sway. Her hand on your wrist is really getting quite warm. You remember the warmth of the path on the way here. How soothing it was. You sway a little, following the flame or following her breasts beyond. It's hard to tell. You like them, don't you? Her encouraging little tease comes with the finger pausing, no longer swaying. But now you can look at her breasts because her hand isn't getting in the way. But the flame is there in the foreground, beyond pert nipples, truly massive tits for you to stare at. Your thoughts leeching into the flame. You notice out of the corner of your eye, as much as you can move your eyes away is just to turn a little. You notice that where she's grasped your arm, there's dark, spreading, warm, natural feeling fur moving over your arm, over your wrist, maybe just little cuffs a bit. It's kind of similar to the way that her skin is covered in downy and soft fur in so many places, but where she is red and white in different locations. Your fur is getting darker, darker. You feel a tingling on top of your head, your ears perking up, reminding you in their movements of hers. Yeah, you'll do. I just need to make a few changes. Keep staring. And she sways her finger in a circle, leaving a line of light behind. It seems to spiral, hang in the air. Your eyes follow it, tracing the endless, inward-moving spiraling of her finger. Your thoughts burning away in the blue flame you thought you were saving her from, but that you are now being drawn into and captivated by. Not quite so much as her body. Your appreciation for her body, for soft, bouncing breasts, grows and grows, as fur does too. There's a heat down your back, a heat just above your butt. There's fur and there's some stretching, tenting, creating of musculature. A tail, you feel it swaying, soft, falling, heavy. Your whole body, warmer, heavier. You let her just lead, one hand still holding your wrist, but now she slides it down and takes your hand instead, intertwining her fingers with yours. The dark fur, black fur over you. Your ears flicking on top of your head, you feel them. Fox ears, your tail rising up, swaying. Your body is warm and delighting. And as she tells you to watch the flame more closely, to be in it, and allow your thoughts to peacefully, happily, but warmly and permanently shift, bend, sculpted by her words as much as that flame is sculpted by even a small movement of her hand. You watch. You're still aware of her tails. In fact, as the heat of the fur spreading on your body, the changes, the swaying, your cognition sliding into that spiral of flame, as it all happens, you feel more and more acutely connected to her tails, her long, billowing tails that truthfully fill much of the clearing at this point. There's blue light around her fur, down her mane of red hair, in her eyes, and in particular on now two of her fingers, making spiraling motions in the air. The spark and flame, and her breasts beyond it, her smile, her fangs bared, her furred body and her eyes keen and intense. One of the forest spirits, one of the kitsune that live here, that watch over and tempt travelers. And being tempted does feel so good. Thought after thought, popping and sparking away, more tinder for the flame. Her breasts occupying more of your mind as her influence, her transformation, the furred, dark covering of your body, occupies more of your skin. You let her know, you invite her to do what she might do. Your mind opening its gates, spiraling pattern of flame and the occasional bounce of heavy breasts, the only thought in mind. Her hand intertwined with yours, an intimate gesture, truthfully. And she leans in, whispering, your eyes still looking down and forward, looking at her chest. You're going to come back with me, she tells you. The flame in your mind nods yes. What passes for a mind nods yes. It's only natural that you should follow after her. She and you are the same thing, you subordinate, she above, but both together. So when she just tugs lightly at your hand, still facing toward you, she's walking backward and everything seems to get out of the way. Trees, underbrush, everything, so that though she turns minimally, keeping her breasts and that finger with its mote of hypnotizing flame in view, though she's just backing up with you facing her, everything gets out of the way, and the path is behind her. A path different than the one you came in on, something that goes deeper, with those streamers of white talismans and paper up in the trees, and a few side paths to small shrines with burning incense. Space itself seems to pucker. You know that where you are going is more distant, but it feels warm and right, as furred spreading influence, as paws with retractable claws, as feet that raise up a little bit. All manifest on your being, as you follow with lithe grace. Something of the fox's influence already in you, your ears flicking, aware of your environment. This feels like home, and you are home. You follow, follow, and move. Shift in your awareness to be more and more in her wake, along her path. Whatever movement she describes with her hand, with the arc of flame, with the bouncing of her breasts, or the swish of the silken robe, or the slide of her nine tails, intertwining, rubbing against one another, they look so soft. As she leads you, each and everything seems perfect, seems right. This is a place to be, and the euphoric warmth of thought after thought burning away in the flame, and of her breasts, her body, her influence, her words, her eager attention to you, intoxicating. As it builds up, you follow. She's still holding your hand. You follow. You'll make a wonderful pet, she says, still walking backwards so you're looking past her. There's some drool running down your chin from a too long tongue. Those little fox changes firming up. Your tail swishing, happiness and curiosity. You follow her, and because you are looking toward her, you can barely see. In the moment you manage to turn your eyes a little bit away from flame and her bouncing breasts, you can barely see. A mansion beyond, a vast gate, many paper sliding doors in the foyer visible. There's a garden in there, a tree, and again you feel, through some connection, to the tales she has. You feel some connection to this place. A happy and warm familiarity. You follow, she leads, and that is just how it should be. With her hand holding yours, she turns, which takes her breasts out of sight, but the other arm, loose by her side, still has a mote of that flame, visible for you to lose yourself in. And it still seems like the flame, her familiar perhaps, is watching you back. And now you can see those tails, the way they almost fold up and seem to vanish, or at times they wash through one another as if only some of them were physically there. They occupy so much space in your mind, and they sway and swish. They bring your attention where it needs to be, which is on her, as she leads you inside. You feel your fur standing on end, almost electric with joy. This, as you cross the threshold, is your home. Your ears flick. You're detecting each and everything about this place that you can. Then when you come to the foot of the stairs, she turns, faces you once more, her breasts in view. In fact, she walks forward, pushing your face between her cleavage. The familiar flame is out of sight. All your thoughts are in order now, anyway. She picks you up, scooping one arm. You thought she'd be too small to so easily lift you, but she reaches under, lifts you into her arms. Good Pat. Your face is still between her breasts, breathing in the scent of incense, heat, oils, and something wild, the feral other, holding you. Her heartbeat is strong and comforting. She pulls you against her, slips a hand down under your rear as well as the one supporting your shoulders, and carrying you that way, begins to bring you up the stairs effortlessly. At first, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but then, there's nowhere you'd rather be than in the arms of the woman you realize will train, does own, can change, and loves to play with you, the object of her attention and affection lured from the trail, and now in her home, in her thrall, and drifting off in her arms.